What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast. My name is Ralph Compiano. I'm your host. This is a conversation show about all of the biggest and best in sports, movies, and music. I'm joined by the Popcorn Boys today, my co-host Mike Cerrone and Jack Turner and Skylar Riesberg. And today we're just kind of flowing. All right, we're going to do some popcorn picks. We're going to do some spits or some swallows. But there aren't any really big headlines that I wanted to touch first. I think the one thing that is kind of looming over the stratosphere of culture right now, the thing that I can't stop thinking about, the thing that we already talked about this week, but we have two guys on here who haven't shared their thoughts publicly as much on it, is Dune 2. This is sticking around in the culture more than any movie, I think, since Barbie and Oppenheimer, the Barbenheimer experience. It's kind of filling that role right now. It is the movie event of the year until, I don't even know if Furiosa, the Mad Max sequel, will have this much traction in a couple of months. But right now, Dune Part 2, I can't escape it. So Turner, I wanted to get your thoughts on it because you've been reading the book. You just saw it recently, right? Like, you have been blessed in the spice. What's your experience been like?
I just got the book. Got it a while good back. So I was going to read it before I saw the first movie. Procrastinated all the way until the second movie was going to come out. So finished the book, saw the movie on Sunday, the first movie on Sunday, then went and saw it at my local movie theater, Music Box Theater. Got to put a plug in there. They got the organ player playing before the show starts. It's just an old school, old timey theater. Just adds to the experience. Oh yeah, you get all the movie nerds in there. It's a little bit more expensive, but worth it.
What is the organ player doing?
He's just being really cute up there, setting the vibe before before it starts. He's an old man. You know, you don't see a lot of young organ players anymore.
So there's no commercials. He's just playing organ, setting the vibe, ready for Dune.
So the only commercials they'll show are Music Box movies. So like, this theater will sponsor and help like produce movies. And so they'll show like previews for two different art house movies they're about to come out with. But before that, you know, like, yeah, he's just banging it out. The last song he played was Sandman, like, Mr. Sandman, bring me your drink, which is like a perfect, you know, for Dune. Like, so I think he picks like songs that are, you know,
that's true.
In it's line so with what's going on. But I thought the movie was incredible. Just overall, one of those movies you want to see in theaters because the soundtrack is sweet. The visuals are unreal. This was in 70 millimeter film, which is extra cool as well. Love the movie. I will say, like, whenever you read a book that's a movie adaptation, in some weird ways, it almost took me out of the movie experience a little bit just because you're like noticing like, oh, that's different from the book. And the book was so fresh. I just finished it a few days ago. So that was a little bit different of an experience, maybe. Just like, oh, like, I think the Chani storyline was probably like the biggest one that's way different in the book than it is in the movie. And I understand why they made some of those changes. Something else I guess I'd call out that's interesting is like in the book, spoiler here, if you haven't seen the movie yet, maybe skip the next 30 seconds, but who kills the Baron in the book is actually Lady Jessica's daughter, who's like 2 years old and can talk. But they're like, you know what? That might just be a little weird. Having a 2 year old running around, like speaking full sentences and then killing the Baron. Like, that just probably would have played a little bit weird on the movie screen. I hope they come out with a part three. I just ordered the next book. There's six of them actually in the whole Dune series, which is insane. Just the amount of content Frank Herbert, the author, was putting out. But I thought it was about as good of an adaptation as you can get, especially with the source material. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and they progressively get weirder.
Right? You haven't seen the second one.
No, yeah, he saw the second movie, but I mean, he's read the first book. And the first book is part one and part two in the movie. And apparently the books progressively get weirder and weirder. That point about Lady Jessica's daughter, the one that's baptized in the water of life while she's in her stomach, the one that Anya Taylor-Joy is going to play. David Lynch's Dune from 85 or 84, that's actually who kills Baron Harkonnen in that movie. And it is like a walking baby and a talking baby. And like Lynch, if you know anything about him, like, he loves that weird shit. So like, it looks really weird on the screen. I can't imagine it in Villeneuve's universe. So I'm glad that it was Timmy. Go ahead.
Well, when Anna Taylor-Joy popped up, I was like, holy shit, they got everybody for this movie.
Yes.
Especially on the actress's side. Like, every, you know.
Boner, didn't you?
Leia Sandu, Florence Pugh, Zendaya. Who's who.
Yeah.
the cast was absolutely
Anya, it almost took me out of it for a little bit, to be honest, just because we got all this star power so much. And then, like, I had heard she was going to be in it. You really can't escape who's – you can't go into the movie blind, not knowing who the actors and actresses are going to be because of the whole – red carpet rollout that they do. So there's really no surprises there. Like, you knew Josh Brolin's character was coming back. Could be other characters that come back. But after seeing all the star power, and then they have that quick scene with her, there was a little bit, 5 seconds maybe, where I was like, this is too much. Mm. Now we got Anya Taylor-Joy coming in, and she probably had hair, but she looked bald. So definitely not turning anyone on, but
that's just my two cents.
She looked pretty bald. She had the big hood, so it's not like you could tell what was going on.
Don't underestimate bald women, dude. Amber Rose is still hitting it.
She's doing it. She's continuing to do her thing, and she's good at it. Sure.
And I still wish I was hitting that, but I'm not. Mike, you saw Doom Part 2. You know, Turner said before the call, you know, big missed opportunity on your end, man. You had the opportunity to be, you said, an Atreides, Turner. I can see Mikey as a Harkonnen. I could see him committing to the 4 hours of makeup. Really? Yeah.
Dude, I would to be
one
that,
of Austin Butler's
be,
like little pets, the one that he slits the throat, or you could have been the guy that came up and gave him like the blades before his birthday.
Oh man, I would gladly, dude, I'd be the little mouse in that movie. Just to be in that movie. I don't care. That'd be insane. But yeah, I was pissed. I wasn't on the pod when you guys were all talking about it. But yeah, I loved it, man. I mean, I don't know what really more else you want out of a movie. See it in theaters. I saw Dune 1 just on my TV right here. Still mm-hmm. loved it. But seeing Dune 2 in theater, I mean, it is just fucking so much better because there's just so much action. The visuals are so crazy. It's just chilling. A couple takeaways. It's funny you said that there's going to be 6 more books. I see it as like a little mini like Harry Potter. Like, it's going to keep going like this because, you know, I feel like it's going to keep going and go. There's so much storyline that, like, you know, it's almost like a Game of Thrones. Like, they have a lot to unravel. Like, Harry Potter's a lot, like, just these longer series. So it's good there's 6 books. Hopefully I made like 3, 4, 5 of them. That would be insane. And just all of the performances, like Chalamet, dude, just like, this is what made him like a movie star. Like, I just don't even know. I mean, you got to think that kid is just fucking, he's just filthy rich. He's like banging a Kardashian. He just has this movie where he looks like a stud. Mm-hmm. Through the whole 3 fucking hours, there's close-ups, his hair's blowing the wind. He's fucking, of course he rides the worm. Of course he kills fucking Austin Butler. Of course he fucking, he's just fucking killing it. But yeah, it was everything you wanted it to be. The soundtrack was absolutely nuts. The visuals, like I have that one, after Timmy drinks the water of life and he opens his eyes. That sound that was played when mm-hmm. he opened his eyes, that like, it was like, it was lit, like, dude, it was, bro, it was nuts. Like the whole, just like the whole place was shaking. I loved it, man. It was, it's funny as like an actor, like I'm so jealous of like, you watch stuff like that and you're just like,
God damn it.
Man, like if I could have had that role, you know, and you know, my time will come and it'll be even fucking better. But yeah, you just wish. Part 2.
People are coming out of this movie and they're like comparing it to The Empire Strikes Back and The Godfather Part 2. But Mike's out here. He's like, my time will come and it will be better.
Listen, you will only go as far as you dream. So I'm dreaming pretty damn far. But yeah, it's just like that. That is what this guy, you know, this director. I really haven't heard too much about him before.
Yes, you have. You know, Villeneuve. Like, we watched Sicario together. And that was like my biggest thing with
Sicario?
No, he's the Sicario. He directed Sicario, Arrival, Prisoners, Blade Runner 2049. He's a master of the craft. Yeah, you know Villeneuve.
Good for Timmy though. He needed a little bit more street cred again after, you know, singing about chocolate and Wonka, which I loved him in. But you know, it's nice to see like the duality of being able to play that kind of twinkie character versus, you know, the badass that is.
He's got it, man. Yeah, he's.
I don't think a lot of people saw Wonka.
I have still not seen Wonka, and I feel I've like I've seen every movie
I've
seen
over the last year and a half. At least. I thought we had a 50-50 here. Yeah, once I heard there was a lot of singing, I was kind of out on it. Not that I'm not a musical guy, but...
I'm not a musical guy.
Wonka's played out. It's always weird and creepy.
Yeah. And I like the original one. With that being said, I'll see it. Like, I like the Wilder one, but like, and I saw the Johnny Depp one growing up. But on the point that you said, Mike, about franchising this, that's fascinating because... When I think about this, and at least from what I've heard from like the people who have read the books, is that the story only gets progressively weirder. And that's what's amazing about this is it's already really weird. Like the fact that he's drinking lean and his mom is getting face tats and there's like this whole Messiah storyline. Like it's very, it's so like Star Wars is like a family friendly franchise. Harry Potter, family friendly. So it made sense that they made all of that money. This is a pretty adult franchise for the most part. Like they're studying and exploring these themes of like religion and pride and ego.
Yeah, maybe not
and like
Harry
the things
Potter.
That,
it's not...
And like it draws more comparison. No, but I like what you're saying because it makes sense that it would go down that route, right? Because like,
I feel
the,
like there's enough
the story
plot
is there
to make this 100%. Really another 2-3 movies.
But like you need him, you need Villeneuve to do all of this. And I think I struggled. Before the first one had come out, I understood that it was part one and that there was going to be a part two. And I was kind of pissed because I was like, damn, that means we're not going to get another original Villeneuve story for however many years. And now I'm like, okay, now he's actually concepting two or three other movies that he might work on before part three. And now it's the inverse. Now I'm like pissed. I'm like, dude, just give me Doom Part 3 now. Like, don't work on those three things.
Yeah,
so
it's
this balancing act. Like, I don't know what other director could do this. Like, if you're going to hand this story over to another filmmaker, it has to be like Christopher Nolan. Like, I don't know any other guy that can work on this.
You also
got
to think, too, with that much, you know, this goes into like the logistics of it. With that many star-studded cast members, you know, you got to think, you got to cut out. I mean, they're going to be, you think Austin Butler, Timmy, Florence, they're going to all have jobs lined up after this movie out the door. So you got to somehow take a chunk of that and get all of them in the same room for, you know, a couple months, which is hard too. I think it'll be a while, but I think also they all definitely want to come back. And
yep. Zendaya said, like I will drop everything and work with Villeneuve tomorrow.
Yeah.
If he asks me
I mean, look at that. I mean, yeah, exactly. I'm also surprised. I thought Austin Butler, you know, from the amount of praise you heard from, you know, the initial critics and everything, I thought he was going to be in it a little bit more. And I actually didn't think he was going to die at the end. Cause now he's out, you know, like it's done. I feel like that villain, all, you know, almost like, it's almost like Voldemort didn't die. In the second Harry Potter movie.
Right.
Like, I know we're going back to Harry Potter, but it's like
the
all-time villain. Like I was like when he died, I thought for
I'm not gonna let that slide.
He's an all-time villain. What are you talking about?
I thought you said Well, there's a difference between V and A.
He is an all-time
doesn't matter.
Line for you, bud.
Yeah,
Darth Vader, dude, Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker,
Sauron.
Nobody.
Yeah, he's don't even start on Lord of the Rings corner.
Like you don't have room in your heart for another series like that.
No, I definitely do. I was ready to. I was initially hesitant hearing Empire Strikes Back comparisons, but I accepted. Dune was awesome.
Yeah,
I would say that I think that James Cameron could direct Dune like Denis Villeneuve, though. If we're talking about it, that's the Denny.
He probably could,
not Dennis.
I know that might be sacrilegious to hear.
I would have loved for at the very end for how good Austin Butler played that villain, that character. I would have loved for him to get stabbed a couple times, but then like behind camera, he kind of like limps away. So there's like a little bit. It's like, oh, he's not dead yet. So we're going to get that nasty, sicko, psychotic character for a couple more movies. But then he actually died. And I was like,
no more Fade Rotha.
Like, I wonder who there needs to be another new.
A new big bad. I didn't know who the next big bad was either, and that's something that we kind of explored a little bit on our deep dive on it.
I think he's pretty toast.
But god damn it, it'd
probably
be great if he was,
but I don't understand the world that much. I thought part two was gonna be the last movie, and then I thought part three was gonna be the last movie. Now you guys are telling me there's six books, and Now it just sounds like we're buckled up. It feels like Avatar right now. Like we wait every 2 years to get a new Avatar by James Cameron. Now we're waiting every 2 years to get
more than
2 years. Yeah, even more. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But this one should come out in 2 years, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I do want to stay on Timmy for 1 second, though, because I'm looking at, like, you know, he's 27 years old right now.
That's kind of
fulfilling that role, like that Leo gap, right? Like of the next leading man. I think it's him and Butler. And I'm looking at the directors that he's worked with. And Leo started to do this after Titanic, where once he made Titanic, he's like, okay, I'm exclusively working with Scorsese, Tarantino, and guys of that nature.
Must be nice.
Yeah, would be nice. And Timmy's kind of doing the same thing. You know, he has 2 Greta Gerwig movies under his belt in Little Women and Lady Bird, a couple of Luca Guadagnino movies, Call Me By Your Name, Bones and All. I know Riesberg loved Bones and All. Adam McKay, he worked with, who's maybe not on the same level as those people, but a acclaimed director nonetheless. Villeneuve, obviously, with the 2 Dune movies. Even Wonka was directed by Paul King, the gentleman who did Paddington, which is like super revered amongst critics. So he's kind of adopting this philosophy of like every movie that I do is going to be with a fucking stud filmmaker. And I love that he's doing that. So I'm curious what his next step is going to be as an actor. Like Turner, what would you want to see him kind of do next? Like, cause he's already like at such a star level that it's going to be hard to maintain that. Like there are a lot of actors who can do something this impressive, but then there's like maybe a fall off. Like Damon, like did the Bourne series. Leo just kept working with, you know, all of these studs. Like what's kind of the next thing in the movie star playbook for Timmy?
I pulled up his IMDb and it doesn't seem like anything's really coming up besides maybe a Bob Dylan biopic that he's involved with.
That's what I was going to say, which is so fucking sick.
And that's his
project. Awesome. Is he kind of taking a lead on that? Yeah. That's it. I would
love to see him do like a 21 Jump Street type of comedy. Cause I think he's got pretty good comedy chops and he's been just, you know, like French Dispatch he recently did. He's done just all these really good art movies. I think he's funny and Don't Look Up, but I would love to see
him. There we go.
Comedy.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say, I've been watching a lot of, I just watched so much stuff on, like the actors and actors, but I've been watching a lot of the Dune press conferences, and he's very like, I was gonna say not funny, but
funny in those. But I think if you give him like a director like a Gerwig who he might share the same humor with, like he's so fucking funny in Lady Bird, like where we used to just do things. Like, what you do is very baller. Oh, brilliant!
Yeah,
you like it?
Yeah, I did like it actually. I mean, I'm not a teenage girl, but I had a sister and I can see relate to the character through her.
Oh,
you know.
Beautiful statement.
One of my 15 favorite movies ever. Absolutely adore it.
Damn.
Oh, I love Lady Bird.
Yeah, Lady Bird's like, awesome.
I know you do.
I watched this Mike whole behind the scenes. Top 15. Yeah. I watched this whole behind the scenes of Greta Gerwig. She was talking about how they made that scene where the mom leaves the airport and then drives back, and it was just the craziest way to make that scene, and it was like only one shot because the mom, the actor, I don't even know her name, she's like brilliant, but yeah, she has like kids of her own, and she was like, Nancy, listen, McPherson? I only have enough like emotion, like I don't want to live this because I'm thinking about my own kid, like when you do this once and I'm gonna give you one take and that's it. Cause it's just like, she's, you know, just going through the ringer, just letting her kid. Yep. Okay. Yeah. And, Lady Bird's awesome. Yeah. Ralph showed me that. That's a movie that you just got to trust. Cause you know, you're like, what am I watching? Like Lady Bird? Like, all right, Ralph, let's watch it. And then you're just kind of fall in love with it. And you're like, oh man, this is just like, yeah, it's a great movie.
And the lesson that you learn is always trust Ralph. Yeah. I was just going to say that, Turner.
Always trust Ralph.
The
dude.
One guy who dropped the ball on Dune that could have been cast in Dune very, and really has dropped the ball just recently, is Lucas Hedges. Man. You know, he's in Grand Budapest Hotel, Moonrise Kingdom, Lady Bird, Manchester by the Sea, 3 Billboards, mid-90s, Honey Boy, Waves. He's been in all of these great movies, and he really hasn't been in anything recently. So he kind of like was on the same level as Timmy when Lady Bird came out, and now Timmy's dating Kylie Jenner, and Lucas Hedges is, I don't even know the most recent thing that he's been in is.
Yeah,
not everybody has what it takes.
Whoa!
Yeah, he's just got the look, the skills. Yeah, he's just taken off. Like, he's top of the world right now. I can't imagine what it is to fucking live that kid's life right now. It's gonna be fucking just insane. But yeah,
he's okay, just a scrawny boy king. Yeah. Scrawny boys are looking up to this guy. Like, we can do anything now. Dating Kylie Jenner.
Dude, it's funny. Beating,
he's in a Dior commercial, right? Like, he looks like an absolute
sex symbol. Like, he's like a child. Like, I've watched the press interviews. He's like, so, like, childish and playful. I can't imagine what him and Kyle, like...
Kylie's kind of childish and playful, though. I think that's what she wants to be.
I think about, like, the logistical, like, sex of it. Like, she's like, you know, that's a body. And he's like a little twink boy. I saw having a huge piece. I saw a funny tweet the other day, and it was like, you know, like there was a picture of Sydney Sweeney and Casey Musgraves side by side, like at the end of SNL.
We saw that picture,
and somebody was like, "This is the day people will mark this as the day that the ass era ended." And it's just both of their tits, just like absolutely looking perfect and miraculous. And then somebody replied to that tweet, and it was a picture of Timmy, and he was just like really skinny in it, like posing like on the red carpet. They're like, they will also mark this as the day that the twink boy era started. And it was just like, those are the two ideal. Like, I guess I don't fit that anymore because I'm definitely not a twink boy. I did want to talk about, like, so the Oscars are this weekend. They're this Sunday. We can preview them a little bit.
I didn't even know that.
Sunday night. And I'm anticipating a big one. You know, you got Oppenheimer, you got Barbie that are both going to be competing. Oppenheimer is likely going to sweep a lot of the categories: best director, best picture, best supporting actor, best actor for Killian, and all of these things.
As it should.
But I was trying to think of, like, Leo might not be there, and he would be the kind of guy that fills like the Jack Nicholson role, like front row. Tom Cruise wasn't there famously for Top Gun Maverick because he didn't get nominated for best actor. Leo isn't nominated for best actor. I'm wondering, like, with this Dune kind of moment that we're having, like, how do we get Timmy there? Like, is he front row? Because that's one that just, like, people will tune in to see him and Kylie at the Oscars. Like,
oh, and I think the Golden Globes,
you don't think he'll be there?
All the lip reading between him and Kylie was like a storyline leaving the Golden Globes.
And what were they saying to each other? I saw that video. It was like, your eyebrows look so good. She's like, mine look better. And it was just so fucking weird and awkward.
What those lip readers are interpreting. Wouldn't you love to see, though, having Timothy show up, sitting with Zendaya in the middle, Tom Holland on the right? That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see a little, like, not threesome in that way, but I want to see that threesome sitting together. Like
Sappho's love triangle. Yep.
Yeah.
God bless when I'm famous and people are leading my rips, because the shit that comes out of my mouth is going to be just absurd.
Did you see that ass? Again,
you're going to ignore the PR training?
Yeah, it's just a compilation.
Yeah, I should be able to publish this before.
We touched on this a little bit too, but like Austin Butler, you've been watching these, you know, these press tours, Mike, between Timmy and Austin. Dude, I don't know who he's banging right now. He used to date Vanessa Hutchins back in the day. Like, they were a Disney couple. But I think he wishes he was banging Timmy, because every single interview that I'm watching between the two of them, like, he is staring so intently at Timmy while he's talking.
Bro, he honestly, like, licking his lips. Dude.
It's intense. Yeah. I can't imagine him staring at me while I'm talking. I don't know if I'd be able to handle it. Like, I'm not gay, but I would definitely, like, and I would naturally just want to kiss him.
I could see him being a little gay.
A little bit. He played all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of throws you off because his voice is so deep. That's who I thought he was dating, was Kai Gerber. That kid is also, like, I think Austin Butler's probably better looking than Chalamet.
He's a stud.
Just from, like, a physical, like, him and Jacob Elordi, like, pretty much, like, he's just handsome dudes.
He was photographed kissing Lily Rose Depp in August of 2021. That's just kind of blows my mind.
That's 3 years ago.
That's just fun facts. We talked about Kaia Gerber. Oh, no, they are still together, according to Business Insider.
Nice. It actually makes me happy that he's not going to steal my
reporting on that.
I don't know why they're reporting on that, but they are. Great pictures. He's a beautiful looking man.
Yeah, he'll be at the Oscars. They'll all be there.
Good. And we'll do an Oscars pod too Sunday night. I'm fired up for it it'll be fun.
I can save it for that.
All right. We should go and do Spits and Swallows and Popcorn Picks. I didn't think we were going to do 20 minutes on Dune, but I should have anticipated that. So my bad. Hand up.
It's too good.
Sorry for the scheduling error. All right, let's go into let's do Swallow first. We're on a positive note right now. Curious what you got, Turner.
Yeah.
You always come super prepared.
I'm prepared for the Swallow today. His spit's going to be a little touch and go. But we're swallowing ibuprofen, literally and physically. Ibuprofen? I don't know. You pop two of those fuckers, you feel great, dude. Whoever came up with ibuprofen, just solving the world's problems. One little pill at a time. They tell you not to take pills growing up. No. Take all the ibuprofen. Yes. You got a swollen ankle. You ever tried a
30 milligram Adderall? Off.
Yeah, there you go. There's another one. You can swallow Adderall.
That'll make you feel.
That's all I got today. I was on the IR last week. I had the flu. Supposedly, you're not supposed to take ibuprofen. You're supposed to take Tylenol. I didn't know that. Ibuprofen was doing the job.
All right, I'll actually follow that because, I'm swallowing something that you literally swallow as well. I'm swallowing Coke Zero. Not the biggest fan of Diet Coke. Coke has become a little bit too syrupy for me in this olden age.
Wow.
I've quit vaping. So it's a hard thing to quit. I know, Berg. Every time I look at you on this call, I'm like, God damn.
Coke Zero is saving you?
Coke Zero is giving me like that slap in the throat satisfaction that I crave. Like I realized I wasn't craving the nicotine. I guess I still am craving the nicotine because I still have Zins. But the Coke Zero is like it's giving you like that little pinch that you like in the back of the throat. So the I missed that. And the Coke Zero is just good. Zero calories, tastes just like Coke when I was growing up. But then I tried like I think it was like a Mountain Dew a couple of weeks ago at work because I was like, we have it. I'll just give it a shot. How do people drink that shit, man? It is like so sugary and so syrupy. And like I'm not like a pussy when it comes to drinking or anything like that. But it's just like once you go on the zero cal pop mend and then you try like it tastes like crack. It's like holy
shit.
See,
I haven't had a Mountain Dew since high school maybe. Yes. Are they not good anymore?
No, I mean,
when you're
good,
a kid, for some reason, it's just like – you drink like four of them. Shake weight, they're so good.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just potent. Like that's the only way I can describe it. It's like almost like too much. It's like thicker in your mouth because of the sugar versus like a Coke Zero is just like
disgusting.
It's literally all I drink other than water.
He'll drink a Mountain Dew at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm a Coke guy, but I stay away from diet.
Just as like a side swallow, just like a baby swallow, is climbing kites. I know that somebody in our group, I was drinking one the other day over at Big Grove. It is a local THC drink. It's like it tastes exactly like sparkling water.
Local to Des Moines?
Yes, local to Des Moines. Okay. And it's just phenomenal. So I've been drinking those every now and then as well.
How are they getting away with that out there? They have THC drinks now?
Yeah, I read an article CBD. About it. I can't remember what it was necessarily. This is actually
THC. They use a different Delta variant.
Yeah.
It's like THC that you smoke.
Never trust somebody that knows too much about like the CBD, THC differences.
Yeah, just drink it. Dude. Shut the fuck up. Have fun.
Okay. I think you should definitely look into it, but...
He's just saying, like, don't trust the guy that's, like, trying to sell you hemp and is, like, this will cure, like, your entire life and now you'll be more concentrated. Like, just fuck off. All right, Cerrone, what are you swallowing?
I mean, this guy, the past, you know, so I'm going to swallow Jason Kelce. Okay. Nice. This guy, you know, with his brother. Imagine your brother, obviously Travis, being on that much of a heater with his career, the Super Bowls, Taylor Swift. How do you follow that up, dude? Somehow, I think Jason Kelce even one-upped his brother. The past 2 years with this guy and the podcast, and he is just the overall best. Like, he's just the dude's dude. He's a dude's dude. Like, just him chugging with his beer off, just showing up to the game with jeans and flip-flops, just being, like, the guy that everybody absolutely loves. And then speaking his mind. Like, why doesn't every athlete just, like, speak their mind and have fun and be funny like that? The reason why I just kind of put the nail in the coffin with the swallow is, I don't know if you guys watched his retirement ceremony. Yeah. Dude, just this beautiful monologue about how he met his wife at the bar and everybody loves him even more and he's a family man. And then he's going out making these hilarious jokes about, you know, I remember, you know, Nick Foles with the biggest dick on the team ran the Philly special and Doug Peterson, blah, blah, the second biggest dick on the team to let him do it. And we like just cracking jokes, being himself, being a guy that everybody loves. I just think when you have a brother that is, you know, could possibly outshadow you to the absolute met. Like, he's winning Super Bowls. He's dating Taylor Swift. Travis Kelce's on the top of the world. He's somehow, like, almost – he's just as famous. He's just as popular. He's just as loved. He's, like, even – he's obviously even more loved. But this guy, what a fucking 2 years for this guy. Gets a ring, gets a crazy podcast, goes down, retires as, you know, Hall of Fame center. Just absolutely – I just can't imagine what that family is like. Just, you know, but just – you got to love the guy. He's been absolutely on fire lately. And then just this whole retirement ceremony, which was cracking me up. Dude, he's talking about Nick Foles junk and all this stuff. But I fucking love that guy. He's just he's just like a – you feel like it's just a normal guy, like one of us. Just got famous and he's great at football. And it's just so relatable. It's so fun. And you just can't hate that guy. You cannot hate him.
Mike, have you seen
he's just been on fire lately.
Have you seen the Kelce documentary?
Yes. Amazing, dude.
Good documentary.
Like, loved it. Like, you know, he's giving these speeches where he's crying and getting the passionate speeches, firing up his players. And, just this normal guy wearing a Batman mask, having fun. He's just being himself. I think at the end of the day, like, everybody loves the guy who is just unapologetically himself.
Yeah.
Like, just – and you can always tell, because you can always tell when something's authentic or fake. And he just is being himself. I wish every athlete, you know, would be like that and do that. Just be so much more fun just across the board.
And but, he's like, yeah, he's giving
Kelce, man.
He's giving hope to little fat boys everywhere. Like, I was a center, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, man, and they I didn't have a center to look up to. I thought it was an unsexy position, but I was a difference maker on that team, man. I was like,
you had to send two D linemen. That's the whole line.
And it's there's little chunkers all over America right now. They're like, I want to get on that O-line. Because, like, Travis plays not Jason a sexy Kelce. Position, but, like, he's made the tight end position a little bit sexier. Like, him, Rock, Kittle, like, they've all made that position, like, even more valuable. Like, I think that there'll be, like, some kind of contract negotiation to get tight ends paid as much as receivers at some point. But, like, the center position is
more,
like,
important.
I only looked up to Jeff Saturday, and I just only knew him because he was Peyton Manning's best friend. And that was really about it. But now you got Jason Kelce.
Jeff Saturday, he was funny. Like, he's on, he's making, like, you got to have personality. Like, and that even more credit to him as an O-lineman. But yeah, he's just been on fire. I just love every time I see him pop up. I watch their podcast. I do. I know a lot of people hate on it, but they're funny together.
Number one sports podcast right now.
Yeah. It's like us shooting the shit back and forth. You can't hate him. You got to love him. And God, he has been on fucking fire lately. And you got to credit to him because, it's got to be tough with the brother who kind of stole, the fucking world. Yeah. I mean, dude, when him and Taylor kind of took over the world for 4 or 5 months and then out of nowhere, just the older brother, just shirtless, just shotgun a beer with his chest hair. Like, not even one, you know, I probably would have shaved my chest if I knew I was going to just fuck it, just as is, just unapologetically himself, man.
It took Dune to, like, actually overcome that cultural moment. Like, we needed a $180 million movie opening weekend to, like, overtake. Because, like, people were Swift and Kelce type, like, coming up on my timeline. All right, Bert, you're up. What is your, what's your swallow? What's your...
Quick, I got to echo Jason Kelce. People love him because he's a great, genuine dude. We got that point across, but when you're genuine, people are going to love you like that. But I also got to call back to the moment you talked about him meeting his wife at a bar. I love that you described it as a beautiful moment because it definitely is, and that's how we should all describe it. But the story goes he was blacked out, you know, met her on Tinder. Yeah. She didn't know if he was going to be real or not. He shows up to the bar, gets hammered, ends up blacking out. She's got to take him home. I don't think a lot of people would describe that as a beautiful first meet, but I think they should, and I think we all should because
it's a great lesson to learn. Yeah. Just get blacked out for your Tinder date, and then it'll turn into something beautiful.
You can only go up from there. He was kind of, you know, trending down, and then he came back sober, and it's like, oh, the Jason Kelce we all know and love. But I'm going to have to swallow. So whoever that guy that made the shake weights, I'm kidding. I got to swallow my favorite month that is March. I'm going to swallow this for every consecutive week that we do a podcast. Not Black History Month, not January, not December, not November, maybe September because my birthday's in there, but
can't forget that.
You got to go with March because March Madness, obviously. But it's also for other points. I mean, what else do we got going on? This is the first time, you know, you're in college or you're fucking you're our age, starts getting a little nicer out, you start having a little darty every now and then. You know, you see a nice 60 degree weekend coming up, you can have a little darty, but it's mostly because of March Madness. Everything changes even
what
before the tournament.
What kind of guy are you at a darty? Are you
he's
running
jersey
the,
wear.
The pong table, the dye table, jersey wear? I can see that.
It depends on the darty. Depends on the day and what variables we have, you know, going on there. But I usually I try to get a fun fit going. I mean, big poppy glasses, some t-shirt you can only wear to a darty. It's only acceptable there. You can't wear this t-shirt anywhere else.
Bright colors.
Something like that.
Maybe some
bright colors. Maybe a button down to keep unbuttoning as it gets hotter or colder, whatever. Wow. As you get drunker.
bright colors.
I can see Bruce pretty good. Yeah, just a floral button down, like almost a little Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah,
you might be on vacation,
but nothing underneath. Except my chest hair.
No, of course not. Loads of chest hair. You have little blonde chest hairs, don't you? Little,
he
cute,
does.
Little blonde.
Oh,
ones.
They're actually a little. They're a little brown. Maybe they are.
They're blonde. Okay.
They're
blonde.
A little darker than you think. They're darker than you think.
Yeah.
They're darker than you think.
I'd like to floss my teeth with those.
Go back to your March Madness swallow.
Yeah, I'm just swallowing March because everything means more. You know, pre-tournament, obviously the tournament's fun. We're going to get to that. But, you know, it's March 6th, and the games that are being played, if you've been watching college basketball, just start to – everything is a little more meaningful.
Best time of
the year. You know, finishing the regular season – and people are vying for that number one seed. They're jockeying to make the tournament. So you see that energy go up, that focus go up in games. And I just absolutely love that. You also get people, you know, like Mike coming in and they're starting to get a little way interested in college basketball. This is their time. They're taking over.
Bets are flowing.
People start getting on heaters.
I wake up every day and I'm dude, just what are we betting? What are we looking at? You're paying attention. And the thing with people understand. Yeah, and like the thing with college basketball that has above any sport is like you wake up on a Tuesday or Wednesday, there's like 20 games. There's so much just pure volume of it that, yeah, you could bet, you know, all day up until, you know, you're betting Hawaii at, you know, midnight, you get in yourself a little heat. I hit a plus 600 parlay last night. With fucking Nevada or who beat San Diego State, and
it was UNLV.
Las Vegas. You're making money. You're having fun.
Wild call by you, by the way. That was a great bet.
Yeah, I took. There's two games left, and I just took. I was like, you know, I'm gonna underdog both of them, and threw in a parlay. And
I didn't have the balls to say this in a chat, but I was on the opposite side of you on both games. So I'm hat off to you right now.
Bert loves
on the Mountain West. I love the Mountain West.
I would love to be a little guest star on Box Out Boys. I feel like this time of year I watch a lot of college ball, and I could add a couple tweaks. Villanova lost, so I lost that one. But
let's be forming the show a bit.
We'll see where we can fit you in.
Yeah,
I will say that,
like
Berg, you missed one angle. I got one angle for Berg as a general manager.
Ooh.
On
St. Patrick's
future,
Day,
on the Future song draft.
No, that's April.
You neglected to mention maybe his best song, March Madness by Future. You can listen to this song every day this month as much as you want, unapologetically, and that's what I've done so far. I've listened to 56 Nights relentlessly. So I just wanted to throw out that.
I was
going to
go ahead, Turner. Give a shout out to Bert Nussberger for, you know, bringing the term March Madness to the masses, to the populace, you know, to the populace. Just because that ring, you know, just March Madness, like everybody knows what that means, what that symbolizes, just like absolute madness of 18.
America comes together.
Big
old
round orange basketball, upset Cinderellas. Oh, we love it. So
does it say when he coined that term?
You know what?
He
brought it to the popularity. We have Henry Porter in 1939, man out of Illinois, came up with the term. Brent Musburger brought it to TV in the 80s and started just, you know, saying it over and over again until it just kind of got hammered home and March Madness was born.
I love that.
It's beautiful. We love the background. We love the linguist and the rhetoric behind that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a good little note.
All right, we should move into Spitz then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Turner, go ahead.
Oh, what are you spitting this week? All right, we're going to spit. This is like, I guess it's on the same subject, I guess. You know, Caitlin Clark's been big in the news as she continues to break records, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool to see Travis Scott at the Iowa game.
Crazy.
Never would have thought that was going to happen. They did a good job of recognizing Lynette Woodward, right? Is that how you say her name?
Mm-hmm.
The kid, lady that played for Kansas. But what I'm spitting is just like cross record breaking between, you know, like Pistol Pete and Caitlin Clark. Like, that, why is that even a big deal? I've never seen in any other sport where like somebody in softball hits more home runs than Hank Aaron, or like somebody in girls swimming is won more medals than Michael. I don't know. It just seems like a weird ploy to try and get more eyes on the television screen again for Fox. And it's a debate that I see raging on Twitter between people like, well, Pistol Pete did it in 3 years. Well, he took 40 shots a game and his dad was the coach. Well, Caitlin Clark, I could give two shits. I just think it's a weird thing to compare. I guess I just want to give both of them their flowers, Pistol Pete and, you know, Caitlin Clark for being the best of their sport and for their side. So I just am spitting the whole idea of what, like, we have to compare and greatness on everything. Like, there's always got to be a best instead of just celebrating the accomplishments that multiple individuals have. Like, why do we always have to one up each other on that shit?
I am glad that Pistol Pete is coming up more in conversation. I read a biography on that Pete Eastman gave to me, I think like 6th or 7th grade. It was a thick book. It might have been one of the thicker books that I had read at that point. I think it was like 625 pages. But literally every single game, they recorded his statistics in the book. So I got to see the chance of like his evolution. That dude was taking 45 to 50 shots per game. And it was insane because they would also mark like how far away he was shooting despite everything being worth two. And people were like, he was literally pulling up from like 35 feet, just like on a whim, like whatever he wanted. He went to started at Clemson, transferred to LSU, went to the New Orleans Jazz, played for them, played for the Atlanta Hawks.
Died young.
And died very young. Obviously, like had the like the from instructional. What? It's like, I think it might be lung cancer, something like that.
Smoking me cigs.
Yeah. But he was
a good life though.
He had an instructional video that like I guarantee all of our dads had like his instructional video growing up. That was like the original YouTube for like if you wanted to learn how to play basketball. And I have one great Pistol Pete story. And it's hilarious because, like, you know, you always see like these weird trainings. Oh, go ahead, Turner.
Your hilarious story. Pistol Pete died at 40 playing pickup, undiagnosed heart disease. He died playing basketball. Like,
He wouldn't have wanted to go out any other way.
It's a Disney movie.
Yeah. I bet he made the shot too. He probably released it, died, and by the time he's fucking sawing up to fucking heaven, it just went right through.
From 44 feet too. Yeah, over 44.
Yeah. Or he got blocked by some like huge black dude and it just fucking ended him.
And he's like, fuck this. I can't be playing.
He was still segregated at the time for sure.
No, it wasn't. He's playing black dudes. But anyway, so like you see like all these crazy training stories, like Jameis Winston, like on Instagram, and it's just like he's doing the weirdest shit. Pistol Pete was like so creative with like the way that he worked out that he would dribble a basketball while his dad was driving in the car, and he would ride shotgun. So he'd have the window down and he would dribble the basketball, right? And he wanted to see how fast his dad could drive with him dribbling the ball. And his dad got up to 22 miles an hour. And Pistol Pete, at that point, you're not dribbling. All you're doing is you're just throwing the ball as far as you can and then catching up to it. And having that control over the ball is just like miraculous. And yeah, he's just
nuts.
Like, there's just like legends, stories of him that are so brilliant. And
that's like when your coach used to have you put plastic bags over the basketballs. You know what I'm saying? That's the Kyrie drill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're just so nasty with, keep going. Though.
No, I mean, that's really what it is. Like, and we should,
he'd fly.
John Wall could have, but then also the porn star stash. Like, he was growing up in that era, like he was living in the era, you know, that dude was fucking. So I'm not surprised that he died at an early age because, you know, we hear the numbers that Will Chamberlain was putting up in bed. I guarantee you that Pistol Pete was also doing the same numbers. They didn't talk about
you
that.
You believe those though, because those are self-proclaimed numbers.
He was a stick, I believe man.
It's Will Chamberlain, dude. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah, I've seen him. He always looks really salty nowadays on TV. They invited him to the game to watch a record getting broke, and he's just like, I am so not happy about this at all.
That's Kareem. Yeah. That's Kareem. That is not Will.
I thought that's who you said. Sorry.
Yeah, Will's my dad a while. Probably because of the venereal
diseases. Will's the dog.
That he racked up.
going back
Wilson
to
Dog. I take it all back. Continue.
Pete Maravich dying like that. I feel like people used to die in cooler ways back before, you know, like doctors come in mm-hmm. and facilitate. People used to be just dying all the time.
Yep. Just on the court.
You miss those days. You miss those days that people are dying.
Still happy. The good old days.
Like, if you know, you actually thought, like, hey, tomorrow I might die. But nah, not anymore. It's like, I got it until at least I'm 60.
Yeah, at least. All right. Mike, what are you spitting? That was good.
I am spitting. All right. Listen, it's, or actually, you guys saw it today from my little fender bender. It was raining out today. Listen, if I'm going to live in California and pay goddamn near 50% income tax and get charged up the ass, it better be sunny outside, okay? It better be great, great weather. I want 72, barely any clouds. I'm trying to play golf. I'm trying to fucking drive with my windows down. It's been raining for like 2 weeks in California.
Oh,
bullshit. Absolute bullshit. I know you guys are in the cold, just getting fucking snowed on, just, but you're not paying 70% taxes. You're not paying $8 for a gallon of gas. You're not paying $32 for a carton of eggs. So I'm selling the California weather, right, or spitting. And I, dude, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I live here for a reason, and it's been kicking my ass. And yeah, there's floods, there's water coming in, everything's underwater. Haven't been able to golf in fucking forever. So yeah, I'm spitting California rain and the weather and the bullshit that comes with it. Because I'm going to live here and get charged out the ass. I better get some sunshine. So whatever government contraption that I know they have going on that makes rain needs to get shut off, and the sun needs to come out, and I need to get back on the golf course. Okay? And that's it.
Yeah, you're not going to get any we feel sorry for you. No, the taxes no thing sucks ass. That's terrible. Because, yeah, I've been looking at, like, you know, like some checks and stuff just like that. I'm like, damn, that's 40% is eating. But all right, Bert, what are you going to spit? Because you're usually not so negative. You usually swallow two things the last couple of weeks.
No, I've only done that once. But I was thinking about swallowing again. I do like to swallow. I'm not a spitter. Spitters are quitters. I was thinking about swallowing something again, but I can spit something.
Yeah. Your daddy's son.
Spitters or quitters?
So I'm going to spit. I'm going to spit this one individual because at this point, it's one person. It's got to be.
Drop the name.
Their name is. No, I wish I knew their name. I need to talk to the Denver Police Department to find their name out. But there's no names given. It's this is a broken case. You know, they're never going to find the guy. But I moved to Colorado 6 months ago now. It's March 6th, so it's been 6 months, 5 days, whatever the fuck the math is. And I came here with two bikes. Came here with two. I 6 months in, I have zero. I have zero bikes. This Monday, I woke up to a text. Hey, your bike's gone. There's just a wheel where your lock is. So just the wheel was there. The rest of the bike gone forever. It was my favorite Trek bike. We got it at a garage sale. My mom bought it for me when I was in like eighth grade. Oh, I was so attached to it. I know that does sound sad. You know, it's okay. It's a bike though. But I reported it to the police again. They're not going to do jack shit about it. I called my property manager. They won't show me the video, but they'll describe what happened. I know what happened. I want to see these individuals. So I'm spinning this one individual. Dude, I know it happened. Yeah, there's no way they give a fuck about it.
Yeah, because they just legit unscrew, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, every part of the bike that's not on the lock.
They just take the tires out so they can take the whole body, and they just leave your front wheel. So they got the rest. All they need to do is put a front wheel on. And it's not like it was outside. It was inside the building. So, you know, it could be the enemies could be around me here. The thief could be around here.
Oh, my God. You're living with him. He's across the hall. He's probably listening to you. He's probably a fan of the Pop-Off Pod, laughing his ass off when this gets aired.
Liking every reel.
Got him again.
He's going to
get him again.
That's brutal.
He can't get me anymore. And there was only my two bikes and then another bike in the back. That bike in the back, untouched. Nobody wants it.
He's going to give you a bike. He's going to leave one on your doorstep. And then a month later, he's going to take it back. And
he might.
I got that motherfucker again. Bert Turner dropped something in the chat, though. He said that you have a shoulder story that was a good spit.
Oh,
Yeah,
I'd like to hear this.
I can do so. Yeah, it's been a while since we last talked. So last time we were talking, me and Turner were about to take the trip up to Vail and have a little snowboard, Turner skiing trip together with the boys, and that went pretty well for the most part. You know, the boarding, the learning didn't happen as fast as you'd want, but by the second day, it was kind of piecing things together for a little bit. You know, got a little too cocky. Finally, I'd been snowboarding alone the whole time. And so it's not as sad as it sounds. You're on the mountains. You stop sometimes. You just look out. You're in the most beautiful place ever.
Your boys didn't wait up for you?
I'm that bad, Mike. There's no reason. I've
boarded with some kids learning, and it's, you know, it's rough, but like no Marine left behind, man. Or maybe that's just because I'm a Marine.
Yeah, I think it's because you gotta still
snowboard.
I will say, in their defense, I mean, sure, we can come at them a little, but in their defense, I feel like I was pretty like, hey, like, just you guys go, we'll keep in touch, and like, if I start figuring this shit out,
I would say, no, dude, we'll all go down the hill together. It's gonna be a blast. We'll get you
hold
better.
Hands. Yeah.
Well, they eventually started feeling bad because I finally pieced together a run. We got our group photo, and then we're going down this green that turned into a blue at one point, and I could have kept going on the green, but I decided to hit the blue. So we started going down it, and honestly, there were a lot of falls, but I had two snowboarder buddies with me, and they were just trying to give me the ins and outs, and it was kind of clicking a little. We were coming down back to the ski lift and just had a weird fall, popped the shoulder out. Had
again?
Two boys. Oh, yeah. Shoulder popped out. It was dislocated. Couldn't move it. Two boys came up, and they're saying all the right and wrong things. So like, you probably don't want to hear this, but you totally broke your collarbone, man. It's done for. And I'm like, no, it's just the shoulder. I know it. I heard it pop out. That's it. Long story short, one of the boys starts just coming up to me, putting his back. He's like, here, lay down, get comfortable. He's like, you're going to be good. You're in my hands now. Telling me also this bad info, but long story short again, I just lift my elbow up. It pops back in and it was all good. I snowboarded down. They were like, do we need to get the jet ski patrol out here? I was like,
that's what I thought you were going to say. I was like, dude, if he is about to say that you went down, because you see those people on the snowmobile with the thing that you're strapped to, you don't want to be that guy, man. My leg could be detached from my body. Don't put me on that little sled thing, because that's the worst look, bro. You're going down the hill. You're like strapped up to like the hearse thing or like the stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's a bad, it's just a bad look.
I was saying no, but the boys were saying this would be a great story, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. No,
it would be hilarious. But it would be hilarious for us.
And the girl made me go talk to ski patrol. This mountain girl came up and she was like, "Hey, let me take care of you. You know, let's get you down there. But I want to get you checked out." I kept saying no, but she was so insistent that we talked to the ski patrol. Walk in, we got Spicoli just sitting in there, 80-year-old Spicoli, Fast Times at Ridgemont, just chilling, you know, hasn't had any problems with that going on. And I come in and he's just looking at me like, what's up? And I'm like, I didn't even say anything. She told him what happened. He's like, is shoulder still dislocated, man? And I'm like, no, I popped it back in. Ever happened before? No. Oh, yeah, one time, but it's all good now. It's like, dude, we don't need to stop a ski lift for you, man. Just fucking willy your way on down there. I'm like, what the hell? So I had to get out of there because that guy was weirding me out. I couldn't believe I was so pissed he had me talk to that guy. But
yeah, fuck that.
Took a ski lift down, called it for the day.
Unless she was hot.
Yeah, she wasn't hot. She was 60. I met her husband in the ski line.
Oh god,
ski lift line.
I would love Sean to board with you, man.
Shout out Spicoli. That's
dude,
great.
We could put it together now, I think. I feel a lot more confident after that second day than I've ever felt.
I'd teach you a couple. Because I grew up, though.
I was getting the S's going. A boy was yelling at me as I was going down. Just trust your toe. Trust it. I trusted it, and I started carving for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to trust the toe at first because you hit one edge, and it's a brutal.
It feels weird. But it's not the worst way to fall if you really think about it, unless you go back.
Yeah. If you go back, it's you're getting off the mountain.
This is not becoming a shredding podcast. All right. I'm spitting. I'm spitting the sick fucks with random numbers that text you. Now, this could be a plethora of different things. This could be, you know, the political advertisers that are constantly in your DMs like, hey, it's Nikki Haley. Like, you want a free blowjob if you vote for me? Kind
I of got
thing.
That one, bro. The Nikki Haley one.
Oh, my God. She doesn't stop. She does not bug you. It's like the worst ex-girlfriend possible. But I'm more talking about the random numbers that they know you don't have their number. It could be like, I don't know, like. I'm pretty good at saving numbers, but I just got this text actually like earlier today and they said, come to my house for a barbecue party this weekend. I don't know who they are. Their area code is an area code that I do not know. It's 239.
Is it blue or green?
It's blue. It's
oh,
iMessage,
that's even,
which
what's
is
the
like
area
so
code?
Weird.
Let's look it up.
That's very weird
it's
because usually it's always
239. And I asked them, who is this?
Oh,
and they said,
East Coast.
They said, I'm Wendy. Didn't you save my number? I said, I don't know.
Oh, it's
Wendy.
Fake.
And I'm still waiting for a text right now. Like, I just don't know who these people are. I don't know what their prerogative is. You know, I'm just an innocent dude trying to record a pod, host some basketball tryouts. He said, oh, they just said, I'm sorry. Aren't you Irene? No, I'm not Irene. And I'm just not going to respond to this person. Like,
Southwest Florida, they could be from Miami.
It's just like, get your numbers right, man. Like, just get that shit straight. It's just so, like, I don't know. It just frustrates me. It's like, you know, I got shit to handle and business to do, baby. I don't got time for this like stupid encounter. I just hate stupid people.
We gotta put the clues together. Yeah, Florida area code. It's some. They're looking for someone named Irene. They obviously had dementia or old and suffering. Maybe
also, like,
the fact that it's blue though. Usually, it's always green. It's they never. The scammers never had an iPhone.
Nikki Haley is always green. Wendy, I think she just had good intentions to reach out to Irene. Like, just kind of weird that like you have three people with, like Wendy's not a common name anymore. Irene certainly isn't, and I know Ralph isn't. So just kind of a weird little corner there that I'm in.
You should have went with it. Yeah. What time? Right. What should I bring?
I already deleted the number. I guess I could go to recently delete it and recover it, but I'm not that kind of guy. Once I put something in the past, it's back there.
Yeah. Put right. Wendy in the back.
Let's move into popcorn picks now. I want to start.
Yeah.
I'll start because mine's going. It's an uncommon one. It's not a movie. It's not a TV show. It's not music. It is. I actually want to swallow because I've been scrolling like crazy. I just want to swallow Twitter after a big event happens, and I don't want to talk too much about the Dune thing. Yes, my popcorn pick because I've spent a lot of time on Twitter recently. Just scrolling, and I think that's why I appreciate Dune so much right now. It's because it's creating this sense of community amongst everybody, and that's why I loved Oppenheimer. That's why I loved Barbie. That's why you love the Super Bowl. It's because you feel like these monocultural events, they still mean something. I'm gonna be on Twitter all of March Madness in like talking about, you know, UCF upsetting, etc., and all of this kind of cool stuff. Like, that shit fires me up, man. There's nothing better than just seeing like, oh, I never would have associated that picture with this meme and that, so on and so forth. Like, all of the Stilgar stuff that's been going on Twitter, that was kind of the first couple of days of Dune. And now they're kind of moving into like, everybody's doing like this one Austin Butler picture where like he's looking like it's a GIF and he's just like looking up and then he looks down into the camera and kind of like grins a little bit. That's the new big thing. So I just love like this chain of events that happens on social media, because you can't get that on Instagram. You can't really get that on TikTok. Sure, there are trends, but not everybody's talking about the same thing when something is this moment. And we had talked about this on a previous pod. I can't remember which one it was, but like, I was scared that like the monoculture wouldn't exist anymore. So I'm like really happy. Like, I remember it so vividly, you know, Game of Thrones, season 7, episode 1, it premieres, you get on Twitter, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about Jon and Daenerys meeting one another, and it's the absolute best, man. So I'm popcorn picking Twitter for lack of
better. Do you like actively tweet, Ralph? Will you just throw out a little, you know, just a little.
I used to be super active on Twitter, but now I don't tweet as much. It's more retweets, quote tweets, stuff like that.
I gotta get one because
I used to be funny on Twitter, but I just don't have the time to tweet as much as I used to. I used to be a good tweeter though. You know,
I can see you on Twitter.
I also like we got some boys that are really good on Twitter. Like Tommy Merfeld's got like a burner account, Coach Oates, and he's always putting out some heat.
Captain Schlitz.
Turner's always putting
now
out
we
some
know.
Heat.
There we go. Get that plug in.
Yep. I think he has like 72 followers. It's heat.
I might make one.
Those are the points of the burners. Just like tweet shit into the abyss, and like maybe your boy sees it, maybe they don't. Like Drell retweeted something the other day, and I realized that I'm subscribed to
Drell.
Drell
loves Twitter.
I know he's always on it, but he's not tweeting as much as he used to. So I texted him. I'm like, "Yo, dog, like you got to get back on Twitter." He's always
very
just got
clever.
The funniest shit.
Yeah.
He's the funniest kid ever.
Drell would kill Twitter.
All right, let's go, Berg. What's your popcorn pick this week?
So popcorn pick doesn't have to be movies or TV shows.
It doesn't have to be, but I kind of bended it a little bit just because, you know, it's about a movie. It was about Dune 2 for the most part. But like, we want to suggest something to people.
My popcorn pick, probably not the best after the berating I got from PD on being gay this week, but I'm going to go Call Me By Your Name.
Money.
With Timothy Chalamet. Let's keep it on that note. The Timothy Chalamet is probably...
No, let's do the Armie Hammer note. We got to do that too. You can't just...
Oh, of course.
They come together.
Of course, but it's full circle. We talked about Timothy earlier, and this is probably my favorite performance by him. I think that's fair to say. I really liked him in it. Elio. I mean, Armie Hammer, you got to get over the controversy that does surround that guy. Fuck it, whatever. I thought he also killed it. Yep. Yeah, cannibalism. He's addressed it. I don't know. I don't look too into it. But the movie itself, Call Me By Your Name, is in 1980s Italy, a relationship begins between 17-year-old teenage Elio and the other adult man hired as his father's research assistant.
Yep.
So we see little Timmy come over, and then he, you know, forms this beautiful relationship with his father's research assistant. And it makes for a lot of beautiful moments. That's kind of what I look for in cinema. Not beautiful moments, but just something that makes you feel something, kind of touches at the heart chords, or, you know, makes you think
a little beautiful than gay statutory rape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get where you're coming from, but the way it was portrayed, the way it ended. And I think, what's his name? The father in it, Michael Stuhlbarg.
Yeah.
Stuhlbarg delivers maybe a little recency bias, but my favorite monologue at the end when he is describing Timothy. Just about love, just in love lost and how to handle that. You know, that ripped me, touched me at every level. And I thought that was like the most a funny way to put it, but I thought it was the most absolutely beautiful film I've seen in years.
I don't
even
cry
though
it was a lot. So I watched it for the first time with Suisse and his brother Cameron.
And makes sense.
We all said at the end of it, like, yo, I'm not gay, but if I were, wouldn't mind being third wheel in that love triangle right there. And the point on statutory rape, it is true. Like Licorice Pizza dealt with that as well. I get it. It is what it is. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it was a different era. It's like in the 80s, it's Italy. It's the most beautiful vistas and landscapes. We should say that Luca Guadagnino directed it, and this was my introduction to him. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he made this movie with Chalamet, which started their relationship as filmmaker and lead actor, and that led to Bones and All, which carries the same themes of love despite controversy and all of these things. They're two totally different movies. One's literally about cannibalism, which is ironic because Armie Hammer was obviously a crucial part of that movie. Armie is brilliant in Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah,
he's also brilliant in Social Network. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, Call Me By Your Name, was that really what put Tim on the map?
Yes. Yeah. He got, I think he might have been nominated for an Oscar. Well, so he was an Interstellar.
More beautiful
right?
Boy.
Like he's the son in Interstellar.
Oh, that's right. He was
Beautiful Boy's 2018. Call Me By Your Name is 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll have to watch Beautiful Boy.
And Lady
Boy.
Bird was also 2017. Right.
Beautiful Boy.
Lady Bird was huge for him too. Beautiful Boy is tough to get through. But Stuhlbarg, Berg, that's one of my favorite monologues in movies, that conversation between those two, because Timmy is obviously going through this circumstance where he's not having trouble admitting that he's gay. He's having trouble admitting that this relationship is over and that it can't be realized because, and I'm not sure if I should spoil it, so I guess I won't go into it too much, but Stuhlbarg essentially says to him, he's like, you know, he's been married to his mom for God knows how long. They have this beautiful house in Italy that they summer vacation in. And their relationship seems like perfect on the surface, his mom and Michael Stuhlbarg's. And he says to Timmy, he's like, he doesn't say it explicitly, like, I was also gay when I was your age and I had a love affair like this. But he does say, like, I understand exactly what you're going through. You have no idea. And it's going to hurt. but he essentially says that that hurt is what makes us human. And would you rather feel this or feel nothing at all? And as somebody who's like felt like that heartbreak before, like it is like a really powerful thing, but I've also felt that numbness before, and I would much rather feel the heartbreak than the numbness. Like the numbness is like way more excruciating when you don't feel anything about something, because you're like, damn, am I not capable of feeling something, versus that heartbreak. So it was just like a really tender moment. And yeah, I cry every time I watch it, because I'm like, god damn it, Michael Stuhlbarg is the man. If you like Hindenburg, you should watch the movie that he did with the Coen brothers. It's called A Serious Man. Fucking amazing. So good. He's the lead in it. Shaven face, looks different. I think he's one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood right now, because he's also in Bones and All, and he plays the really weird cannibal that they meet by the fire. And he's like kind of like homeless, like lives out of an RV, and they run into him. It's like the scariest part of the movie.
Not even tell that was him until way after the movie.
The rotted teeth. He's so good in that too. So that's a great pick, man. Good one. Call Me By Your Name. Love that movie. I think I have like my top 30 on Letterboxd, just fun fact. All right, Berg or Turner, what is your popcorn pick?
I have a couple options here. I think I'm going to go with Beekeeper, just a popcorn movie. I was a sucker for like Jason Statham, just fucking shit up. You know, basically, here's all you need to know. Someone close to him is, you know, harmed, wronged, and he's going to right that wrong through vengeance. Who is he?
John
He's
Wick.
He's a beekeeper. He protects the hive. You know, he is basically a off the charts secret agent type dude that, you know, if he's coming for you, you might as well just be dead. And, you know, that's basically
what you just described every single Statham movie, and I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. He's got his role locked down.
It was a great watch. It's not going to win any awards. It's not the most tight plot, you know, you've ever seen. But the action rocks. There's some good laughs, and I enjoyed myself throughout the movie. The director for this one's David Ayer. Mikey's going to love this. This guy directed Fury, so you know you're going to get some good acting in there.
I love Fury.
So that's going to be my popcorn pick. Not a whole lot to it, but if you're looking for a movie, it just came out, just got to streaming. Somebody I knew had rented it, so they just, you know, tossed it over my way. The other thing I really want to quickly swallow is just Curb. This season is so good. I love the way it's setting up towards the end here. Looks like, you know, Larry's going to go to court, kind of maybe a little bit of a Seinfeld final season 2.0 finish, which is just...
Yep.
So Larry David, so meta.
Yeah, really fuck you.
Yeah, everything about this season. And then, you know, a quick shout out to Richard, R.I.P. too. Yeah, I don't think we've mentioned him today. He was looking a little worse for wear in the last episode. I don't know if anybody else noticed that. But if you're not watching the new season of Curb or just haven't gotten to it yet, definitely tap in. Got my girlfriend on it. Originally, she wasn't really too big into Curb because it is, you know, just like it is a unique sense of humor.
It's a dude show for the most part.
I think now that she's kind of starting to get, you know, literally shtick, she's all in. You know, like she's like, I don't think she got it at first because she's like, I don't really like Larry. Like, he's not really that good of a dude. I'm like, that's kind of
Yaz might be like Yaz is like such a happy person that like you have to go through some shit like in the real world to like start to like understand the frustration, because that's part of like why Larry is so like lovable, is because he is like, I wish I could do that. Like, he's this cathartic character on screen where you're like, you know what, he's like saying it for all of us. Like the line cutting thing, like it happens all the time and you want to say something but you usually don't. He's like, you can't fucking chat and cut, like I invented the chat and cut. And it's just all of like these little like, you know, just
unapologetically himself.
He said, exactly. I love women. I love having sex with women. I'm a champion for women.
He's just,
have you guys seen those videos of Curb Your Enthusiasm in real life where it's like Larry David, somebody caught him having a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment?
Yeah.
I recently saw one, where he was waiting for, there was construction going on, backing up all the cars. Turner, sounds like you saw it too. He gets out of his car, becomes the champion for the car line behind him. He's like, what's going on up there? We're all supposed to run another route? This is real life. Yeah, there was just
awesome.
Standing by, just like videoing. It's the best. Art imitating life. Curb Your Enthusiasm rocks.
Great show. One of my favorites. All right, Mikey, what is your popcorn pick this week?
So my popcorn pick is, it's not a movie, but a movie experience. I, for the first time, now it's funny that you talked about this at the beginning, Mr. Running Back Jones, how this guy's playing the bugle or whatever at the beginning of the movie theater and just this little song and adds the experience. So in L.A., unfortunately, that guy didn't travel that far out to L.A. We don't get a trumpet, you know, performance. But I, when I saw Dune, this or Dune 2, we balled out and went to one of these. I don't know if they haven't been, you know, where you guys are, but one of these like top tier movie theaters. So 40X. This thing, no, it's not even the screen. You get like this whole couch, this recliner like couch. I've never had this where they come out and actually you can order food and drink in the movie.
This
you ever
is
done
a
this
novelty,
route?
Dude. Yes, we have these. This is
okay. So
Iowa
I
isn't
never
some like
okay, not the couches.
Prairie land I didn't mean without I movie didn't, theaters.
Wait,
yes,
not the couches. Have, though.
So I didn't know. I didn't know.
Wait, wait. Is this
a couch? Couch isn't an individual seat. Like, is it one
recliner?
Person?
No, I'm on. We were. I was with someone else. We were. It was. Yeah, it was a reclining couch. It was insane. Like this thing.
Okay,
there
so
was only there.
Hand up. We don't have that.
Okay, so this, so you walk into this place, and there's about, there's only like 20 seats. There's 10 pairs of twos. You know, you got to go with a girl or a date or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's this huge couch, this comfy as fuck that you like sink into. You recline, and you can recline back as far and wherever you want because everybody's like 5 feet away from you. People probably banging. Yeah. And it's the comfy. I feel like I'm in my living room. It's comfier than this dog shit Airbnb couch. And then the people before the movie, not when the movie is going, because you don't want to hear talking. They come before you. Hey, listen, you want to grab a couple drinks, so you'll have it throughout the movie. Here's our menu. I had no idea. I was like, "What do you mean menu?" Like I thought it was just gonna be like snow caps and nerds clusters. I got this like spicy chicken snow sandwich caps. That was gas. Like one of the best chicken sandwiches I've ever had. With like a couple John Daly's, a little, you know, spiked lemonades. Mm-hmm. And dude, it made the movie. I was like, I'm never going to AMC ever again. Like this is because I saw it at AMC and then we went out. It was in, it like made the movie like I was at home, but with obviously a fucking, you know, IMAX level movie theater screen. I'm eating this sandwich. I'm drinking. I'm getting a little buzz on. I'm like leaned back. Like I'm in heaven. Like in this, the comfiest couch I've ever sat on. Insane. Changed the whole movie experience. I wish I could go back and watch, you know, pretty much every movie I've ever watched in theaters at this fuck. I think it's called iPick or some crazy fuck. I mean, they don't need the plugs. They're loaded. It only cost me fucking $300 for fucking two movie tickets and food. And
how do you feel about bringing blankets into movie theaters?
That's pretty gay.
We've had this discussion on the pod before, the Iron Claw incident.
I don't know if I would bring – I mean, because what, are you going to walk from the parking lot with your little, you know, blankie?
You know, I guess
that's just me hearing
preferably
judgment.
Preferably the girl brings the blanket. You don't have to have that, yeah.
But my point
the people give it to you like on an airplane?
No. Well, that'd be sick. That would be cool. But no, your date brings the blanket.
My point.
Oh, okay.
So you're not carrying it in. Your hands are wiped away clean on that.
Then I'm good. Give me the blanket.
Yeah.
Snuggle me up.
My point, Mike, is
I
like,
want to be as comfy as possible.
If I'm laying down in a couch, I love the idea of just laying out in a couch, but I feel like a little exposed without that blanket. It's like kind of like, where do I, what do I, you know?
You're right.
I feel like that always does lead to some funny business, though. Not that I ever brought a blanket in, but you just put two and two together.
Business.
What are you doing under there? What are you doing?
Yeah, nothing. We're up to
but at least, at least I don't know. You're doing it in the confines of your blanket. It's all
I would never bring a blanket to the theater, but I did buy one. I bought a Cinemark blanket, not because I wanted it, because one of my dates wanted it, and I was like, that's kind of gay. So like, but like you guys said, like usually the girl brings it in.
Did she blow you? If you're buying a blanket, you better get some.
You know what's funny
action.
Is we saw the movie Knock at the Cabin, the M. Night Shyamalan movie, and we were the only ones in the theater. I'm not going to reveal who it was. I think you guys can. Dated Turnerberg and figure out who it was, and she was like, "Let's just fuck in this theater right now." I'm like, "Absolutely not! Like, not a chance. That is not my vibe. I'm watching this movie.
Yeah, I would be stressed.
It's a solid 2.5 stars. I gotta finish it. You know, it's like
I don't think I'd be able to bang in a movie theater. I don't think I'd be able to get it up. I wouldn't. I would be so. It's like Roadhead. Like whenever I get roadhead, I can barely get hard because you're just like
so nervous.
You're trying to fucking.
My head goes to the worst thing. It's like if I get in an accident, you're gonna bite my dick off and you're gonna be decapitated. Like
yeah, we're both and you can't even enjoy it. To us.
Yeah,
two different dicks.
But yeah, that
yeah, Berg's like, I can't keep it down when I'm driving.
Yeah, you're an extra 2 inches with roadhead. Adrenaline is coursing through the veins. But yeah, this movie theater, man, I don't know. Like, Ralph, when you come to LA or you got it, it was a different, it was like, I was like, holy fuck, I've been doing it wrong this whole, because I already loved, everybody loves going to the movies so much already. But when I get this, when I'm getting food and drinks and just the whole comfort, like, and yeah, it was weird because there's only like 10, the people next to you are like 5 or 10 feet away with their own little kind of like, you know, Kanye West orb thing. Like, you know, it's like, it was the coolest thing. So yeah, if that is in your area, man, it was maybe an extra, maybe 10, 15 bucks for the ticket. But I mean, dude, worth it. It's like flying coach to flying first class. Like, you're just like, oh shit, like I've been doing it wrong this whole time. And yeah, I don't know if you guys, you know, you maybe trade off the bugle player for a couch. I don't know which one you'd want, but I haven't experienced the bugle, but right now I'm leaning towards the couch and the spicy chicken sandwich. Cause wow,
I like the idea.
It changed everything, man. Yeah. The only bad thing I would say was I slammed like 3 drinks and I completely forgot that no one's pausing the movie for me when I go up, you know, can you just get paused real quick. So I like, yeah, dude, like the whole scene, like he's about to kill Austin Butler. And I'm like, fuck, I got it. But there's no way you're walking out in the last 30, you know what I'm saying? So yep. I didn't prep for that because I was just so, I was like, what do you mean you're bringing out? I was like, boot, like this is crazy. So yeah, that's go to the bougie theater,
you,
man.
You just held it. You held it the whole time.
Oh yeah, there was. I mean,
good,
what am I gonna?
Good man.
You can't.
No, you got to do that.
Yeah, especially maybe if it's within, you know, the first. But you like as the movie's coming to close, and you know they're invading the Arrakis, and yeah, there's no way I'm stepping out for a 2 minute. Exactly. Yeah.
You walk back. But, what the hell's going on? Fade Rothas no longer here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Imagine if I missed Austin Butler getting stabbed, I would have been so pissed. But yeah, man, that was fucking awesome. Like if that is near you guys, just go for like, I don't even know what you would type in just like upscale move, but that shit rocked. Have you ever been to one of those route where they serve you food?
And drinks? I mean, I've been to Flicks Brewery. I like to see, so like we went to see The Shining on Halloween and they will, yeah, they'll come and serve you food and drinks, like really comfortable recliners.
That's
our friend
so
Aaron,
cool.
Who was just on the Dune Part 2 pod. Like that's his preferred theater. I can't stand, however, when somebody whispers
why.
Even in the theater or like walks by like the screen. I know they're ducking. I know they're like trained to like duck and stuff like that. If it's my first time seeing a movie, I can't stand that. If it's The Shining, which I've seen 15, 20 times or whatever, then it's like, yeah, I've seen this before. You can walk in front of me.
Yeah, it takes out of the moment for a sec.
But
yeah.
If it's Dune Part 2, the first time I'm seeing it, I'm like, I'm seeing it in the theater. Like, if I had it my preferred way, I would see it alone in the theater. I could rent out the entire place. I wouldn't have anybody near me. It would just be me and the movie. But
what I've heard is a new ad for these theaters is heaters in the recliners.
Mm-hmm.
Mine had that. I didn't even know. I didn't even look for any buttons.
Have like any like sanitary issues? Because like it does sound really comfy in there. And there's got to be some times where people are like, it's just us. Why not? You know, like,
yeah, I thought of it. It's so funny you say that because I thought about it because I'm laying on this couch just like sprawled out like I'm at home. And I was like, man, like this is a little bit kind of weird that like, you know, thousands of people probably just sprawled out right here, just kind of farting, just fucking kissing, making it, you know, whatever. It quickly went away when I was the pros outweigh the cons. That's like a perfect way to put it. I was just shocked because I just usually always go, there's, you know, just like a AMC, because you do the Fandango app and whatever's closest. But this place slapped, man. This changed. It made the movie even better. It was, the girl was fucking, this is the first time that she had ever bet. She was like, what? I was like, I didn't know they fucking had sandwiches either. Like, this is like, fuck it. Give me one. It was $80, but fuck it, you know?
The food there is usually pretty good, too. Flix has good food. I will give them that.
Yeah, so. It slaps. So,
but
yeah,
I'm just looking with your popcorn.
You're going crazy about it now. Think about how little Midwesterners are going in Des Moines when they're like, holy shit, we can eat and watch the food? Mine was blown.
Mm. Yeah.
It is nice. But I'm, you know, I'm MTP guy. MTP loyalist. If I'm in a movie, all I need is popcorn.
MTP?
Movie theater popcorn, dog. Top five. You know this. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, the popcorn. Okay.
All right. Okay.
did you fucking your Dune little popcorn thing every time that, you made in and out?
That's only
AMC. Oh, you
AMC.
Got it with the straw.
That's only AMC. I didn't get the Dune bucket. I joked on the podcast.
I had these little, because there's certain snacks that are like only movie theater snacks, like snow caps. Like I was saying, like you don't buy snow caps on a road trip. You probably, that's just like screams, you kill people. But these little chocolate, you ever had those little chocolate cookie dough bites?
Yeah.
I see those every time at those slapped.
Are those good?
Slapped. Okay. Oh my, I don't know if it was just because I was in a recliner. But those were, that's like my new, I slammed a whole bag of those before fucking worst stomach ache ever.
You grabbed up snow caps like 3 times now? I don't think I've ever had snow caps.
I haven't
Not
either.
Are they sell these everywhere?
Movie theaters. I would get them. Yeah, it's like I would get them like just to kind of try them, but they kind of suck. Like, you know, I'm a big sour guy. Always get a, you know, a bucket of movie theater popcorn and then these little cookie dough bites. Oh my God, I'm a big cookie dough guy, but yeah, it was awesome.
All right. Well, that was beautiful. Good job by you guys. This was fun. We'll be back next week talking again. Hopefully we have some Oscars to talk. So yeah, we'll be back next Thursday for everybody. Thank you guys for listening. We love you. We will see you on the other side. Make sure you're following us on socials. Peace out.